by the hour.
Izzy.
Alexa.
Sunshine.
Dorothy.
Good girl, MAGA.
B2. Come on, everybody. Let's herd up.
Okay, ladies. There's a lot of people counting on you, so let's get out there and have some calves.
We're back with round two of Shorty's Countdown to Calving. There are 9 chances for you to pick the date you think each cow will have her calf. If you pick the right date, you could win a $50 prize. Play round two of Shorty's Countdown to Calving on the contest page on SheridanMedia.com.
For generations, we've been with our customers through every season of life, helping families, ranchers, and businesses thrive. Hi, this is Pam with First Northern Bank of Wyoming. From local lending to personalized service, we're proud to be your community bank and trusted partner. Whether you're opening your first account, growing your business, or buying your dream home, we're here for you. First Northern Bank of Wyoming, proudly serving Wyoming since 1885. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS number 402576.
This announcement is brought to you by Farmers Co-op, your farm and ranch supply store on Coffin Avenue.
The IRS and the AARP Tax Aid Foundation have partnered with the Hub on Smith to offer free tax preparation and assistance. To make an appointment, please call 672-2240. You will then get a return call to finalize the appointment, so be sure to answer. You will be asked to pick up a packet prior to your appointment, and we have a team of IRS certified volunteers happy to assist you.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program, brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whitey.
Thursday, March 12th, from the foot of the Bighorns in Wyoming's Emerald City, I'm Floyd Whiting, and this is Public Pulse. This morning, we're joined by Sheridan City Councilman Terry Weitzel and City Treasurer Darla Hawkins. Good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Floyd.
Now, Councilman, what do you think about the weather? And I don't mean the snow. I mean, the winter being as sparse as it really has been.
I mean, this is just really crazy. I mean, to have the warmest winter on record is amazing. And then it looks like, you know, by next week, we're going to start getting into summer right away. So, no, this is just crazy. I mean, yeah, it's helping the city as far as, you know, we didn't have to spend much money on snow removal. But that's yet to be seen. I mean, all the snow that, you know, next couple of weeks it's going to be warm, but that could change abruptly, and we could get a snowstorm, you know, first part of April and even in May.
Yeah. Any concerns whatsoever regarding fuels, fires, things like that?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm hoping we have a wet spring, but yes, you know, there's a huge concern about fires. You know, we just had those a couple years ago, serious ones. Yes, we had a, you know, more wet season last year and didn't have that, but yeah, it has to be on our mind. Mm-hmm. I mean, definitely.
More preparation, because it's better to have it and not need it than need it and not have it, right?
Exactly.
Mrs. Hawkins, how long have you been working for the city?
This June will be 4 years.
4 years.
Yeah.
Where do you come from originally?
Born and raised in Worland, Wyoming.
Worland.
Yeah.
What inspired you to come up here to Sheridan?
Well, my mother lives with me. She has dementia, and we were looking at some facilities that can help us, you know, just take care of her and while we continue on with our lives. And my husband's originally from Sheridan, so all of his family's here. So we just had a bigger support system here.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Good deal. Now, what inspired you to originally get in to the financial sector? I'm not a money guy. Someone once told me you can tell how someone feels about money by asking them to show you a dollar bill. Is that dollar bill crumpled up in their pocket, or is it put within the wallet correctly? And they said, that says a lot. What inspired you to get into it?
You know, from early age, I've always just had this passion of, you know, a lot of people play house. I would play office.
Yeah.
So I just loved just organizing and managing money and just, you know, looking at what you can do with that and make plans. And so
I got a question. Do you like stationery? Is there, because that's one thing I've noticed about myself. I've got an unhealthy addiction to good stationery.
It's a little outdated, but yes.
Yeah, who needs it very much anymore, yeah. Right? A good pen goes a long way, though.
Yes.
I will say that. Now, once you were here in the financial sector, what inspired you to work for the city and kind of get out of the private sector?
So in Worland, I was working, it was close to 7 years with Admiral Beverage, kind of doing the same thing, accounting. I did, I was more focused in with the fixed assets. And so when we made the decision to move to Sheridan, I just started looking for, you know, the accounting jobs and saw that the city was looking for an assistant treasurer that was, you know, and it just said all the things that I was already working on. So I was like, oh, well, that looks like a perfect job. So I knew going to the public sector was going to be a challenge, but I'm always up for a challenge. And I felt like I'd mastered my job and I needed something to challenge me. And it definitely did.
If there was one stark contrast between the private and public sector that kind of hit you right off the bat, you're like, oh wow, this is different, what would you say that was?
Just you know, answering to the public versus your private bosses, and how the money is spent. And I really appreciate that, because again, we all love living in our community and we want to be able to see our community work for us. And just being able to be part of making your dollar go for good versus personal gain.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Now, moving on down the line, I heard that transparency is extremely important to you. A little birdie told me that you're pretty big on that. So why do you feel it's so vital for a good public servant to be as transparent as possible?
Well, kind of the money, you know, the money of the city belongs to everyone. And I just feel that we all have a right to know how, where it goes and how it benefits us. And we just, I just feel that being completely honest and showing where being the transparency, it helps us just do what we want to do for our community.
You get a lot of folks that come in, ask questions, things like that?
Not a lot in, but they put it, we have a process of asking questions, and from time to time we get direct calls of asking different questions, but usually they follow through the public request.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Now, Councilman, let's talk about WAM. Now, this is the Wyoming Association of Municipalities. Sir, what exactly is this organization?
Well, it's a statewide organization, and they advocate for cities. Okay, that's probably the bigger part of them. They also educate public officials like myself and employees of municipalities. That's another large part of what they do. So, you know, we go down to WAM, and there are sessions, and a lot of them are educational sessions. Overall, they keep us informed, you know, what's going on with the state legislation that impacts municipalities. I get a lot of emails from them. Let's put it that way.
Now, when it comes to policy changes at the state, maybe even the federal level, are they pretty good about including those types of things mm-hmm. within the email so you can understand it?
Yeah, so we understand. And they have Zoom calls, too, on a regular basis that would, you know, we could sit in on if we have time.
Now, when people run for council members and they get a seat, you guys are kind of briefed in to your duties. I've heard that there's some 3-ring binders that go around that basically kind of help educate you on mm-hmm. what your job really is and other information that is useful as you're sitting up there. WAM expands on all of that.
Yes.
You guys recently had a winter conference this year. Who attended that with you?
Mayor Bridger did, myself, Councilwoman Lightman, and Councilman Wood. And I think that was it. Greg Luman may have. I can't remember if he did or not. But.
Now, when it comes to issues at the WAM conference? Do they basically sit people down? And is there ever, I don't know, I guess you could say, a briefing on issues that they feel might be affecting cities? They bring that to the forefront?
Yeah, yeah. Well, there was one a session in particular that they go over all the bills and where they are. Mm-hmm. And they inform us on where everything is. And then, you know, me personally, I track a lot of those. There were some that were, you know, important to me, not just for the city, but being the board president of the Sheridan Rec District, there was a bill that wanted to put every 4 years a ballot issue on whether or not the one mill that we get from really the school board, and whether or not the voters should be voting on that or not. And so I tracked that extensively. And anyway, it died last week.
Okay. Yeah. I was just going to ask, what was the update on that? I spoke with Mr. Mock about that.
Yeah.
And some of his other individuals that came in with him, Mr. J.D. Williams, former councilman, came in and spoke about that. Nobody was really a fan of this thing.
No, and the reason why is the uncertainty that would exist every 4 years, okay? Yeah, it's tough to find quality people, okay, to work, and that's very specialized. I mean, recreation is a very specialized field, and if there was the threat every year or every 4 years that they may be out of job, because that one mill levy makes up roughly 45% of the rec district's budget. And if voters would decide, well, do we really need this or not, or they're maybe not well informed on what the rec district does, you know, there's that threat.
Yeah. I worked a contract job for the government for a while, and I can remember sitting down at least once a year and getting that email, will your contract can it be purchased again? And everybody within my little unit used to sit there and wonder, you know, are we going to have a job tomorrow? Mm-hmm. And so I can understand that pressure. It's not fun. And as you said, finding quality people like Mr. Williams, Mr. Mock, who were great about not just kind of coming up with the programs, but developing these programs into something more mm-hmm. for our kids, for us. It is a specialized duty.
It is. And the thing is if we had this uncertainty with that bill on top of, you know, the tax cuts, the property tax cuts, our budget is roughly $1.6 million. And, with those the 25% tax cut, that amounted to 9% of our budget that just disappeared. And 9% on $1.6 million is a lot of money.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, were legislators able to attend the winter conference, or were they busy?
No, they were. In fact, we had a session the first night to where we had we invited state legislators in there to talk to us. And Barry Crago was there, Lori Bratton was there. Unfortunately, our other legislators decided that was maybe not so important. Mm-hmm. And that was disappointing.
Now, what did those conversations really look like?
And Marilyn Connolly was there too.
I could see, Marilyn. I could see her being at that. Now, when it comes to the conversations that you were able to actually sit down and have with these legislators, I know most of them, they're actually extremely personable. Mm-hmm. Were you able to sit down and talk with them face to face about issues that you feel were important, such as the rec district bill?
Yeah. So Senator Crago and I, talked quite a bit, but we're also very good friends, so it's easy to approach him and talk to Marilyn Connolly. Lori Bratton and I didn't have a chance to talk to her.
Now, would you say there's probably other issues out there that you spoke with them about?
Definitely. The one mill levy for the rec district was one that I definitely talked to them about. That was, you know, beyond the city.
Now, what about things that would affect the city? Were you able to sit down and speak with them regarding those?
Mm-hmm.
One thing that always gets me, direct distribution always seems like it's in the headlines as to
and
whether.
That's definitely one of them that we talked to them about. Yes.
What do you feel was accomplished within those conversations around that direct distribution?
Well, we accomplished mostly, you know, with the Senate and all that. I mean, the direct distribution went in the right direction. It disappeared, and we got it up to 8% of what we're going to receive annually, and so the city of Sharon is going to benefit greatly by that.
I imagine there were probably a lot of property tax conversations mm-hmm. that were being
had. There were.
Had.
There were.
Anything that kind of comes to the top of your head on that one?
Well, we don't, you know, this is me, and I'll probably get people calling me. We don't have really high property taxes here. If you, I mean, as a percentage of, you know, the tax burden in this state as a whole, which includes not having any income taxes and all that, we are the lowest in the country as far as a tax burden of any state. And yes, our property values have gone up and our taxes have gone up, but still with that, we have amongst the lowest property taxes or tax burden overall of any state. I mean, all you have to do is just go to our neighbors up north in Montana, ask the average person up there what they pay in taxes, you know, between the income tax. I mean, on a high level, you know, that would be 11%, I believe. It's a graduated system. And then their property taxes are higher than ours. Yes, they don't have a sales tax, but which I don't understand. I mean, why wouldn't you advocate for people from outside that visit the state and getting tax revenue from the sales tax? But you're putting all the tax burden on the individuals that live in the state.
Yeah,
we don't have that here.
Yeah. And that's something that I've always appreciated about Wyoming. We are a tourism destination. And so being able to tax those individuals coming in that are visiting these areas is very advantageous for us.
Yeah. And the thing too is I know that people say, well, what about, lower income people? Well, we have the rebate program in the state of Wyoming. And for lower income people, they can apply for the rebate, and that lowers their tax burden considerably, property tax burden. And so we do have in place in the state things for lower income people, you know, to not have to pay as much in taxes. And a lot of people forget about that. Mm-hmm. You know, they just said, well, my property taxes went up 40%, you know, since COVID. I understand that. Mine have too. But again, they're amongst the lowest, you know, they are the lowest in the country, you know, overall tax burden. And there are, for lower income people, things in place, that can relieve that tax burden.
As long as they can take advantage of it.
Yes.
Now, when it comes to conferences like this, getting everybody kind of into one area, and with the winter looking the way that it has, water had to have come up.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's one thing that is on our minds, I mean, very much so. I mean, we talked briefly, you know, about wildfires and all that. And I mean, we get all of our water from the mountains, you know, and are those reservoirs going to be full? Do we have the snowpack that we need? You know, right now in our area here, the snowpack is down, I mean, considerably. But that can always change with a nice snowstorm or a lot of rain. Anyway, it's something that, you know, everyone is concerned about, you know, throughout the state.
One of those things that's on everybody's mind.
Yes.
When I was a little kid, I never really understood the importance of that.
Mm-hmm.
You take so many things for granted. You just walk up to the faucet, hit it, and there it is.
Yeah.
I moved my wife out here from Minnesota. She loves her state, don't get me wrong. But she said, you guys have got the best water I think I've ever had in my life.
Yeah.
And I said,
Originating from central Illinois, yes, I'll attest to that. I mean, we had to buy, the water tasted so badly in Peoria, Illinois, that we only bought bottled water to drink, even to make coffee.
Oh, my
goodness. We used bottled water for coffee, but we don't need to do that here.
Yeah, even Colorado. And I don't mm-hmm. We're not talking bad about other states. We're just talking about how good our water actually is. My daughter is going to college in Colorado, and when she comes up here, boy, she hits that faucet. One of the first things she does, because it's just great. I mean, it literally does come right off the mountain.
Yes.
So tell me how you feel about conferences like this as far as effectiveness.
Well, they're very informative. I mean, there's no doubt about that, especially that one session when they start going through all the bills and where they are at, you know, at that point in time. I mean, yes, we were meeting early in the session, the legislative session, and a lot of them hadn't been, you know, through committee at all. But, you know, that's very informative. And then, you know, it gives great opportunities, especially to new council members, some training, you know, to bring them up to speed anyway on what they need to be concerned about.
You know, the best conferences give you information that you can lean on.
Yes.
When you're making decisions. On that, I'm going to have more with the city of Sheridan right after this. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM, Sheridan.
Here, and so is the Bighorn Home Builders Home and Garden Show this weekend at the Ramada Plaza. Whether you're buying your first home, upgrading to a larger home, or thinking about a remodeling project but need help with financing, the First Federal Bank and Trust team is ready to help you make it happen. Our experienced, friendly, and fast mortgage team will show you a variety of loan programs, refinancing options, and services to get you started on the road to home ownership. We're committed to making home happen. First Federal Bank and Trust, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Hi, this is Jill Bates.
And Colton Bates.
With the Bates team at Best Real Estate.
Real estate can often feel very noisy and fast moving, but it doesn't have to be that way.
That's right, Colton. In fact, most real estate transactions often take months, but it can feel rushed when you're finally ready to take action, but don't have a plan.
Our team at Best says go ahead and move slow, but starting now gives you the advantage you need.
Whether buying or selling, having a devoted team of experts on your side puts you in control when it's officially go time.
The best thing you can do right now is start the conversation, so give us a call at 675-BEST and visit bestwi.net.
It's the final week of Mossholder's Dining Room and Kitchen Sale. Save on every bar stool, small kitchenette, and large dining room table. Mossholder's has in-stock sets perfect for just two or four people, as well as sets for up to 12 guests. Every dining room order is also discounted, so you can add storage with a new sideboard or server to match your table and chairs. Mossholder's carries high-quality, solid wood dining furniture, as well as less expensive groups for those on a budget. Mossholder's Dining Room Sale ends this Saturday. Mossholder's, furniture is our passion.
When someone you love starts needing help, everything changes. Suddenly, you're worrying about rides to appointments, meals, chores, and making sure they're okay when you're not there. That's what Synergy Home Care is all about. Real support, real connection, real dignity. From senior in-home care, companionship to memory care, and hospital to home support, and specialized home care, it's care that works around your family. Visit SynergyHomeCare.com or call 674-HOME. That's 674-HOME. Synergy Home Care, local family-owned home care you can count on.
We interrupt this program with a special bulletin. Reports are coming in from homeowners everywhere. Oh, here's one of them now.
We just can't live like this anymore.
Experts are calling it cabinet fever. Conditions are outdated doors, worn hinges, and uncontrolled thoughts of renovation.
Is there any relief out there? Anywhere?
Yes, the only cure is to enter the A&B Building's Cabinet Fever Sweepstakes, sponsored by YO Tree MD and Security State Bank. Go to SheridanMedia.com immediately and click on the Cabinet Fever banner to enter.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting, and this morning we're speaking with Sheridan City Councilman Terry Weinsel and City Treasurer Darla Hawkins. All right, let's talk about the Bighorn Home Builders Show. For some reason, that's a little difficult for me to get out, ma'am. I don't know why. What is it?
This is going to be an event where there will be many, many vendors that will kind of just go over and give you some ideas on just your projects that you want to do around your home or the additions that you want to do.
You know, and springtime's a great time to do this. I've got some trim that I think the wife's been waiting for me to put up for the last couple of years now. I'm sure she's out there listening, shaking her head up and down right now going, yeah, get it on the wall. What the heck is wrong with you? Now, when and where is it going to take place?
This will be on March 13th through the 15th at the Ramada Plaza in Sheridan.
Now, the city's going to have a booth there.
Yes.
Is that a typical thing or is this something new?
This is something new. We want to be able to help provide the education to those who are wanting or looking into doing those home projects or different things. We want to just be able to educate as much as we can. And people could be asking different questions all the way up to just different codes or how to get permitting, the different type of permits, what it entails.
I think that's fantastic. You know, because you might be going to this home show knowing that you want to do something, but you don't know exactly what you want to do.
Right.
And so you're exploring ideas and you're like, well, I wonder if I can put an extension on the house. Can I make my single car garage two cars? And then what do I need to know beyond right. that? Being able to kind of stop off and say, what is the code? Who's going to be manning this
It'll be Hans Mercer and his building department team that will be down there doing that.
So. Oh, fantastic. Great team. Yes. Great team. And very informative individuals. Now, let's talk about the latest update on Kendrick Poole. I'm going to come back over here to you, Councilman. This is looking pretty good.
It's looking very good. The facelift is worked out well. It was on time, ahead of schedule in many, many ways. So we're going to be open for business this year, and our grand opening is on Sunday, June 7th, from noon to 7 o'clock at night. And the grand opening is going to be right at noon. And this is kind of doubly exciting for me, not just being on the city council, but the rec district runs the pool, you know, mans the pool. And being, you know, the board president of the rec district, this is very exciting for me. So, you know, we only had 1 year off, but it seems like it's been longer than that. But
it felt like forever, didn't it?
Yeah, and you know what? My daughter and my wife had been to the pool before, and I had never gone to the pool until the summer before this last summer. And I couldn't believe the shape that it was in and that we were still open for business. But, no, this was, well, I mean, very much needed. And the community, you know, are going to be able to utilize this, you know, starting this summer. And anyway.
Staff pretty jazzed about getting out there and getting back at it?
Yeah, they are. They are.
Now, were there any hiccups in the updating of everything, did this run pretty smooth?
It ran very smoothly. Yeah, very smoothly. So David Ford, one of our engineers, you know, kind of oversaw this for the city, but you know, the contractors, they were just outstanding and addressed things very quickly. Everything went up, and we're going to have, you know, three new slides that are pretty exciting, and they're kind of prominent. They're right there in the front. Mm-hmm. And then you know, we have a new facility, you know, that has all the mechanical and all that mechanical room, and then the inside of the all changing rooms and all that. Everything's been updated. Everything's been painted. New toilets and faucets have been put in, and shower heads it was a really nice facelift. It's wonderful what they did.
It's gonna be fantastic to mm-hmm. see. What activities have you guys got planned around the big grand opening? Anything?
Yeah, we do. The event is free and open to the public. We have a sponsor, Blue Peak, and we want to thank them for making that first day free to everyone. And then we're going to have raffles there, food trucks, and a sensory tent hosted by Reach. It's going to be a big day.
I love Reach in the sensory tents. You know, it really gives a lot of kids something to kind of experience on their own. I really love those ideas. Now, pool passes available to the public. When are those going to be going up?
They're going to be available on April 1st. So that would be pool passes and swim lessons, signing up for swim lessons.
Swim lessons, something I usually end up talking to the Y about, mm-hmm. but I love being able to talk to the rec district as well. This is more than just for sport. I've always felt that swim lessons were absolutely vital for any young person.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, I remember growing up, my parents didn't know how to swim, and they saw to it that myself, my two sisters, got swim lessons and learned how to swim. It's very, very important. I know that Already, I have a grandson that's almost four, and he's been through swim lessons at the Y. But we also are going to be offering swim lessons, through the rec district.
Folks, that's something that I had to teach myself. I never got swim lessons, but I had a friend who was a very good swimmer and taught me a lot of things, and that's kind of how I did it. I would have much rather gone to a swim lesson. So if you haven't got them in yet, the YMCA and the rec district both offer swim lessons. Now is a great time to get your kid on that list. All right, more with the city of Sheridan after this. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM, Sheridan.
First Home, feeling overwhelmed?
I'm Maren Borsheim.
And I'm Nicole Pierce with First Federal Bank and Trust.
Our mortgage rate relief program may lower your mortgage rate up to 1.5% below the current market rate with a 30-year fixed rate mortgage.
That could mean hundreds saved every month.
If you meet income guidelines, you may qualify to buy your primary residence.
Let's make it simple.
Call us or visit efirstfederal.bank today for all the details.
First Federal Bank and Trust. We're with you every step home. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Talking with Bill from Tales of the City, one of the big reasons to choose Tales of the City is food for your pets.
The food that we carry are mainly five-star foods. They're the best of the best, really, and that's what's real good about us is that we know the nutrition value of it. We have animals ourselves that have lived for 19, 20, 21 years, German Shepherds that have been 16, 17 years old because they've been on a specific diet.
Get the best of the best at Tales of the City, 218 West Burkett.
I'm here with Candace Kindred from Teriyaki Madness. It's March, the days are longer, and I'm craving something fresh.
Tommy, hi, then you need Teriyaki Madness. Grilled, made-to-order chicken, steak, tofu, salmon, crisp veggies, your choice of rice or noodles, all built fresh just the way you like it.
Flavor that wakes you up faster than a Wyoming spring wind.
Exactly. Big portions, bold flavors, and healthier options that actually taste amazing.
Now that's something to get excited about.
Stop in today and taste the difference.
Teriyaki Madness, fresh, fast, and made just for you.
Dreaming of green grass, sunny days, and long drives down the fairway? So are we. Get ready for the 2026 season at Kendrick Golf Course. Rates are extremely reasonable, making Kendrick Sheridan's best golf value. Take advantage of preseason discounts and save even more. Discounted Bass is now on sale at City Hall or online at SheridanWY.net through March 31st. Yep, the grass will be greening up before you know it. Golf this season at Kendrick Golf Course.
At Carol's Furniture, we say long live the lazy. Why? Because Lazy Boy recliners were made for maximum comfort and chilling like a pro. Kick back in classic Lazy Boy style, whether it's movie night, nap time, or just because you've earned it. From sectionals to iconic recliners, Lazy Boy at Carol's Furniture brings home comfort in all the right ways. Go ahead, embrace your inner lazy at Carol's Furniture, 340 North Main in downtown Sheridan, where comfort lives. Visit us at carolsfurniture.com and find us on Facebook and Instagram. Long live the lazy.
For 30 years, Buffalo Stone and Tile has helped homeowners across Northeast Wyoming bring their ideas to life with beautiful stone, tile, cabinetry, hardwood, and luxury vinyl plank. From start to finish, their turnkey services make remodeling easier. Stop by their self-serve showroom at 1402 Sugarland Drive in Sheridan and see the possibilities. Buffalo Stone and Tile, craftsmanship that feels like home. Online at buffalostone.us.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse, proudly brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. I'm Floyd Whiting. This morning, we're sitting with Sheridan City Councilman Terry Weinzel and City Treasurer Darla Hawkins. Now, the general purpose excise tax, it is usually in a headline somewhere. So let's go ahead. Let's break it all the way down to basics. What is the GPET? And how does it work for Sheridan County?
So the state of Wyoming has your normal sales tax of the 4%. And in our community or in our county, we have 6% sales tax. So the first four pennies go to the state. They help the state do their operations. And then the fifth and sixth penny is the optional, so it's voted on. Fifth penny is the 1 cent tax, and that goes, well, actually both fifth and sixth penny is very important to know that 100% of those two pennies come back to our community and is spent in our community.
Now, how much GPET revenue does the city receive in an average year?
Typically, annually, we've been receiving right around $4 million.
$4 million? Yes. My goodness, that's a good chunk of change. Now, when we look at capital projects within the community, actually, let's talk about what can we spend GPET funds on?
Yeah, GPET is, again, specifically for our community. So anything that's regarding the public safety, public health, our arts and history, nonprofit organizations, different things like that. So our community partners and services, so our ambulances, our airport, dog and cat shelter, the rec district, I think I said that, but.
And the Hub on Smith, yes, and Advocacy and Resource Center, and the list goes on.
This fund is, I mean, it's widely used. It funds a lot of different things within the community. Now, let's talk about some of the capital projects that have been accomplished through this GPET. When folks are driving around, what can they see that GPET pay for?
Yeah, to help give you that visual of what it does pay for is you may notice that there's those 1 cent signs that are posted everywhere. So a lot of pathways. That's one thing I love about Sheridan is getting out and walking on, having somewhere to walk around. And it's maintained. It's beautiful. That all goes to, that comes from GPET. Blacktooth Park is another recent project that was completed and still kind of working on as we talk, as we speak. But South Downtown, where the next to the courthouse, all that was part of the projects.
Oh, the behind the courthouse?
Yes.
That's GPET funds that paid for that. Really great place, by the way. I got to see that. And we actually had a reporter here who was one reason why they got rid of that road. Very dangerous situation that was
behind
the courthouse.
Well, actually, that park was funded by the county, but with GPET funds.
Their GPET funds from the county itself.
Right.
Now, let's talk about equipment and operations within the city. Are there stipulations on how much or which operations GPET funds can be spent on within the city itself?
Yeah, it has to go towards either public benefit or the public health, public safety. So as long as it comes back to the community for those things, like the equipment would then be a lot. What we use would be the police vehicles. We're going for 2 fire engines. And the GPET funding usually helps support or match grants. So it allows us to go out and get other funding that's
using it as leverage.
Yes.
That's one thing that I really like the usage of that is sometimes you can even double it in certain situations. And I think everybody knows now the absolute staggering amount of money that is required to purchase fire engines, police equipment. And those prices seem to just be continually going up.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, the last fire engine that we are funding is $1.4 million.
Yes. My goodness.
Yeah.
And there's also usually wait lists,
yes,
attached to those whole things. So you might be purchasing a fire engine this year that you won't see for
4 years.
Four years until it actually rolls through. That's incredible, the amount of time we got to wait on that. Now, why is it... I already asked that question. We're going to move on. Let's talk about the community partners and the services. This is where a lot of the controversy ends up coming in. Some people feel that shouldn't be funding this. I don't want that funded. There's arguments placed every year regarding it. This is a selection process, is it not, Councilman?
It is. It's a selection process. Each organization, nonprofit, applies basically to us and what they're going to be using the money for, and they have an ask. And then the mayor goes over that ask and gives a suggestion. He just did that in our last study session on Monday. And we will be, you know, going over that and at the next meeting and voting on where we're going to put the money. So organizations that benefit, one, you know, near and dear to my heart is the Hub on Smith. Very, very important. They provide services to seniors, including, you know, Goose Creek Transit, something that the city doesn't want to get into the business of. I mean, public transit system, they do it well. They've been doing it for a long time. You know, they also provide meals to seniors, you know, at low prices, and also are the home delivered meals that they do is a very vital program to our community. You know, and then there's, you know, again, I'm just not going to single out, you know, certain nonprofits, but the Advocacy and Resource Center, you know, what they do is vitally important to this community. The city couldn't do what they do. They do need help, you know, financially, and I'm glad that we can provide monies to, you know, organizations like these two and others. And with that, you know, they help make our community great. I mean, what it is. A lot of these organizations do things that the city has no expertise in. And so and without them, we wouldn't be the great community that we are.
What do those debates look like among city council members? And I'm not looking for arguments. What I'm looking for is, I mean, you guys really take your time on this stuff. It's not just willy-nilly out there. You guys really discuss where this money goes, correct?
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, and there's really not, most of us on the council are in favor of doing this, the vast majority of us. And but we do it, you know, I support it because it benefits our community. I see a need, and I think that the average taxpayer would agree that, you know, we need these services. Without these services, we wouldn't be the great community that we are. I mean, there are a lot of people. Not everyone benefits from them. I mean, you know, again, Advocacy and Resource Center, it's a smaller group of people that benefit from this, but without those services, they'd be lost. I mean, the victims anyway would be lost. You look at the senior center. The Hub on Smith. Not everyone benefits from those. I mean, someone, you know, that's 20 years old wouldn't benefit too much from that service. But wait until they become seniors and they're not able to drive. You know, they don't. Who would take them to their doctor's appointments? Who would take them? You know, other than a family member, and not everyone has a family member around. Who would take them to the grocery store to get groceries. And what I love about the Hub on Smith, and my wife and I, we contribute regularly to the Hub on Smith. Without their services, a lot of people are lost. And what the Hub does is they try to keep people independent as they're getting older.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've always said, you know, it's these long-term care facilities certainly have their place. But at the same time, knowing myself, I'm one of those individuals who would fight tooth and nail, you know, to stay as independent as possible.
Oh, yes.
And I know a lot of individuals here in Wyoming are in Wyoming just because of that same sentiment, wanting to remain independent. Now, and one thing that I will comment, and I think I comment every year, whenever I drive around town and I end up seeing one of the really nice bus stops that the city has built over the course of the years, it's always got people in it. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are people that really do take advantage of Goose Creek Transit.
Oh, no doubt. And it's not just seniors. There are a lot of individuals that don't drive.
Mm-hmm.
And they take advantage of those services through Goose Creek.
Moving on down the line, one of the city's biggest events is just around the corner, and you can really tell it's spring when we start talking about this. I've got some issues out my own back door that I've got to get taken care of. This is the big community cleanup and trees for trash event. I know, even in my yard, I had a tree blow down this year, and now I've got about a 7-foot stump that looks pretty ugly back there that I got to figure out something to do with. Tree's gone. Stump is still there. And I know a lot of folks here in town probably went through the same thing. A lot of wind this year. A lot of trees got blown over. Those trees are going to need to be replaced. Tell me about this event.
Well, it's going to be on Saturday, May 2nd this year. What we do is we have volunteer groups are welcome to help in the cleanup. I know that I'm a Sheridan Rotarian, and Rotary's participated in it for many years. We usually do that we do the same every year. And the city has a group that does it. So is the county. And then other nonprofit organizations participate. Churches participate in it. In 2025, we had 131 volunteers on 12 teams that collected trash. And it was 400 pounds of waste from our community's public spaces and pathways.
Oh, wow.
We have, the Trees for Trash event, at the landfill. And you can bring your trash in up to a ton, basically, for free. And then partnering with Sheridan Media, they give out trees, little seedlings, and for people to put out. And
this is one of Jim's favorite events.
Yeah, I know it is.
He gets so excited about this. But it makes such a big difference. I mean, think about how many trees are actually out there.
Yeah, my family and I love doing this event as well. It's a great time to get out there, get some fresh air. We take our dog with us, and I know our group, we kind of made a little competition of who can come back with the craziest piece of trash. So it's always fun.
Who's found the most unusual thing out there in the ditch, right?
Yes. And my daughter 1 year found a shopping cart next to the creek. So yeah.
Well, and again, this is one of those situations. We had so much wind this year. I was talking to one gentleman just before Christmas, and he said, my father has iron chairs. Literally just because we live in Wyoming. He said, I had to go down the hill and retrieve iron chairs this year. He was as amazed as anybody else when it comes to the amount of wind that hit us. So there's probably a lot of garbage blown around out there.
Yeah.
I know after every wind event, I'm in the backyard picking up things that, you just got to wonder where the heck that came from.
Yeah.
So one more time, when and where can we take part in this?
So the community cleanup, you can get a hold of the city, okay, and sign up. A lot of the groups that do the community cleanup, they repeat from year to year. And so there's always, I know with Sheridan Rotary, we have a chairman that gets all the volunteers together to do this, and we do that. The Trees for Trash event is out at the landfill. And on the 2nd, same day, so those are the dates. And one thing I wanted to also add is, so I had mentioned that we can dispose up for free 1 ton of waste, items excluded from this are Freon tires and commercial waste. They don't qualify for the free trash day.
That stuff takes a little bit more effort to dispose of, doesn't
it?
Now, real fast, Darla, before I let you guys go, if somebody wanted to keep up to date on the spending of the GPET or any city spending at all, what do they need to do?
They can always reach out to this city hall customer service and or to the treasury department. We can definitely answer any questions. We try to keep information on our website, so they can always go there, check out our the reports. We do a monthly report that always keeps you up to date on where we are with our collecting of the different taxes. So,
and that's one thing I think a lot of people should take advantage of. City Administrator Stu McCray, he builds that big monthly report. He highlights city employees, which I always really enjoy, people who are out there dedicated to service to the community. He makes sure that he makes it's a little personable as well. It's not just all finances.
Right.
It's something a little bit more. But you do have a report included within that, correct?
Yes, yes.
And great spot. You get that once a month. I do believe he turns that into the city council, does he not,
sir? Yeah, yeah. We get a hard copy of it as soon as that comes out. And also just to add on to what Darla said about how we are very transparent and all that. If anyone wants to know what organizations or nonprofits that the city council is considering funding, you can go to our website. I believe that it was going to be posted after our meeting on Monday. So, and you can get that list of the nonprofits that applied and how much the mayor was recommending. And then ultimately we'll decide what the amounts are and the organizations that we're going to be giving to on Monday, and Monday's regular city council meeting.
All right. So attending Monday's city council meeting, they'll be able to see the decisions that have been made.
Yes.
All right. I want to thank you both so much for coming in and speaking with me this morning. It was an absolute pleasure to meet you, ma'am. It's good to know that somebody's behind the desk actually keeping an eye on things. Appreciate you. All right. You've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan, have a great weekend.
Here, and so is the Bighorn Home Builders Home and Garden Show this weekend at the Ramada Plaza. Whether you're buying your first home, upgrading to a larger home, or thinking about a remodeling project but need help with financing, the First Federal Bank and Trust team is ready to help you make it happen. Our experienced, friendly, and fast mortgage team will show you a variety of loan programs, refinancing options, and services to get you started on the road to home ownership. We're committed to making home happen. First Federal Bank and Trust, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
We're chatting with Shan Foster with All Around Canine Training and Country Pet Inn about the complex world of protection dogs.
Protection in the dog training world is a little different than what most people think of. There's different levels of protection.
Every dog is unique. Every person's unique. The needs Correct. Are all over the place. So one of the things you work on is matching that up.
Correct, yes. If it's a family protection dog versus a single person protection dog, very, very, very important to match the right kind of dog in the right environment as well as with the right type of personality.
One of the great things about working with you would be you know that it's going to be the appropriate level and it's going to be the appropriate price.
You see a lot of organizations where the prices are insane. I like to keep prices that they seem, it makes sense to you. Right. Kind of a thing.
So anytime you see a blanket price that seems too high,
I would be alerted to that. That would be a red flag to me.
Make sure you're getting the right level of protection for the right price. Find out more at allaroundcanine.com.
Doug, I watched 3 car repair videos last night.
Oh boy.
I'm basically a mechanic now.
How's your car running?
It's quiet.
Because it won't start?
Maybe.
That's when you call Factor Chain Technicians at Waring Chevrolet. Oil changes, brakes, diagnostics, alignment, starting at $109.
I better leave the repairs to you.
Probably best.
Service the Waring way.
Schedule at WaringSheridan.com or call 674-6419.
Building, remodeling, or landscaping this spring? Stop by the Bighorn Home Builders Home and Garden Show for some fresh ideas, March 13th through the 15th at the Sheridan Ramada Plaza. Enter to win a $1,000 certificate to Landon's Greenhouse or purchase a raffle ticket from a home builder member for a $6,000 10-foot by 12-foot garden shed donated by Blowdorn Lumber, with proceeds going to Sheridan College construction technology students.
With record calf prices and limited cattle numbers, this spring is an opportunity to invest in the right genetics. Join Elk Angus March 17th at 1 o'clock for the Elk